Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
I think you're a little more than just a regular board member, aren't you? Aren't you like the vice president or some other big cheese?
Yes, I am.
People need to know that about you, Angela, that you are a top dog.
I'm a top dog.
Very good. Well, hey, we should jump into it before we get too ridiculous here. Tuesday, April 21st, Tuesday evening, is our sidewalk counseling training seminar. It's the in-person, in-class training. This is from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. And this will be at, the Revive Church. I keep remembering their old name. The Revive Church, which is in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, which is not too far from the Planned Parenthood in Brooklyn Park where they're doing abortions. So we're doing it up in that area of town. We've got room for more people to attend. Again, Tuesday, April 21st, 7 to 9 p.m. If you have in your heart your understanding you should be stepping out and becoming a sidewalk counselor, you got to go through the training to be a part of our sidewalk counseling corps. But this is such good training. If you want to be present while sidewalk counseling is going on, be there in prayer to be out there and to encourage those who are sidewalk counseling and so forth. This is very good to go through to understand what the sidewalk counselors are attempting to do and how they're going about it. Knowing that is very important when you're out there praying as well. And then if you're just curious, you want to know more about what sidewalk counseling is, this training is so good. This will give you a full understanding, better than I've got sometimes, of what sidewalk counseling is. So I encourage you, you do need to register. You need to contact us. Our phone number at the office is 651-771-1500. And just call. We're not available today or tomorrow, but call Monday. You can even call Tuesday morning to register and get in on this. But do consider joining us for this sidewalk counseling training. I dare to say this is the best training in the world. So there we have it. We continue to keep a close watch on what is happening in St. Cloud with the Planned Parenthood there. The job posting for Planned Parenthood for an ultrasound technician for the purposes of abortions is still out there. So they haven't hired anybody that we know of so far. If the posting is up there, we're assuming they still haven't hired somebody, but that may not be a good assumption. But we keep a close eye. We've got people out at the Planned Parenthood St. Cloud watching for any indicators. They've already started killing babies, maybe even bringing in somebody from the Twin Cities to do it and so forth, and other things that we're working on. So a lot going on, but we're keeping that close eye. So and then Angela, we've got three more babies documented, saved, and a bunch of positive stories out there as well. Now we have one that's out of Planned Parenthood. This is the St. Paul one, the mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. The sidewalk counselor, her name is Terry, was out there and was calling out. And when asked what changed her mind, she mentioned the sidewalk counselors calling out to her from the sidewalk. Something we train for. So another reason to come to the training. Another baby saved. This one was out of our Central Florida branch. And actually, the interaction with the young woman was several months ago, but there wasn't solid contact afterwards that gave us to believe that she had decided not to have the abortion. This is last June. And so we just, at the beginning of April, got contact from her again, and the baby is safe. So the baby saved that we document it now. And then in Moorhead, where we started reaching out after the Red River Women's Abortion Facility moved into town from Fargo. So we're up there. Well, we had a baby saved up there. And again, one of those very amazing stories and so forth. And to go along with that, we have a second story coming out of Moorhead, which is one where we cannot document the baby saved, but the baby was not killed that day. They did talk to the woman at length, and she ended up leaving without having the abortion that day, but we don't know if she might have gone back because we don't have that confirmation, so we don't put that in. Similarly, we have another one coming out of the St. Paul Planned Parenthood where the woman left. We were trying to get her to go over to the nearby Pregnancy Help Center, the Abrea Center, just a block away. She was not there long enough for the abortion, so she drove out, but we didn't get confirmation from her either. But again, the baby was saved that day. And then a couple others like that as well. And it's just, it's, you know,
amazing.
Wow. Yeah, it is. It is. It's so good. It's so good. And we're excited about every one of these. So yeah. Lots going on.
No kidding.
Okay. We got a lot of big news this week.
I know this was a big week for pro-life news, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get through all that I've got in front of us because I had to select it down to just what I think will get through the show. First one is Mark Hawk. This is the guy, the sidewalk counselor, involved with both 40 Days for Life and Direct Sidewalk Counseling at a Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia, who a couple years ago had the FBI show up with long rifles and in full SWAT gear, come to his home to sweep him out of his house in front of his family.
Yeah. His
children crying, mother trying to find out what's going on, and arrested for violating the FACE Act, even though he never violated the FACE Act. He had had an encounter with a Planned Parenthood, what they call clinic escort, who was vile and was verbally assaulting his 12-year-old son a block away from the Planned Parenthood. So he pushed the man away from his 12-year-old son, and the man stumbled and fell, but didn't get injured at all. Assault charges were dropped it like a rock, but the FBI comes and raids his home. Well,
a long while later, too, by the way. I mean, it was a long time between.
Right, it was a year plus after the incident. So he ended up going to trial. He ended up winning at trial. He was found not guilty. Now, this is unusual because the Department of Justice does not bring people to federal trial unless they're really certain they're going to win. They've got like a 96 or 97% victory rate, you know, when they bring somebody to trial on criminal charges. I think it may be even higher for their non-criminal charges, but he wins. So then he sued the Department of Justice for this whole incident. Well, the Department of Justice this past week settled with him for more than $1 million.
Good. I feel like it's not enough.
Well, so he got that one plus million dollars, plus they're paying attorney's fees.
Good.
So it's probably much more than $1 million that they're paying out for having violated this man's rights in such a horrible, horrible manner. Now, on the heels of this, we learn this. The next day, we learn about a report that is coming out of the Department of Justice showing that the Biden administration's DOJ had weaponized federal law against pro-lifers.
Which we knew. We've been talking about this for years. It was so obvious to anyone who was paying attention.
Which is why Mark Hawk got the big award he got.
100%. Yeah.
Almost 900 pages in length. I got a copy of it.
I think there were 800 pages of exhibits alone. Yep. Yep. Just exhibits of evidence. I mean, that is insane.
Yeah, a lot of it were emails back and forth between
entities. And so the evidence was overwhelming that they were they were unevenly applying the FACE Act against pro-life activists and being extremely heavy-handed in the prosecution and what the charges were going to lead to in terms of like how long someone was going to be in jail, all of those things. The sentencing was very heavy-handed.
Right. So those that were accused of violating the FACE Act that were pro-life, and some did, some literally violated the technical FACE law. I mean, that was the case, but they were all very peaceful in their behavior. Whereas the pro-abortion groups that attacked pro-life organizations that went after the pregnancy help centers and so forth were acting violently. They vandalized, they damaged, they firebombed and so forth. Well, here's what happened. All the pro-lifers, plus those that were not violating FACE, got prosecuted, like Mark Hawk. But on the other hand, they ignored enforcement with a lot of the violent behavior of the pro-abortion people, and it was only a select few that they actually prosecuted. And like you said, Angela, those that did get prosecuted and were found guilty of violating the FACE Act that were pro-abortion got half the time. These are violent behaviors. They got half the time of the pro-lifers who did get found guilty under the FACE Act, who acted peacefully. So that's part of this whole process in this as well. They took testimony and information and tracking information from pro-abortion organizations like Planned Parenthood, National Abortion Federation, and so on and so forth. And of course, much of that information was false.
Right.
And it just simply was, we want to get rid of these nuisance people from in front of our abortion facilities. It costs them money when we're out there. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's very good. Very good. Also on the federal side of things, a lawsuit that was brought by, pro-abortion people in Idaho to, have the Idaho parental, notice law struck down. They lost that, by the way, before the federal judge. But they had sought to get a subpoena against Idaho Right to Life for communications records
that they
might have had with legislators when this law was being put together. They were not a party of the case. And so a federal judge has just said, no, you don't get to do that.
But even so, what does it matter? I mean, organizations are lobbying their legislators all the time.
Well, and that's of course,
Right to Life. Explain this to me like I'm five, because even if they were talking to legislators, what is wrong about that?
Nothing. I think the concept of subpoenaing these records is to try and find something. They're assuming something illegal or devious took place in the process. And it was just like when we were dealing with our lawsuit against the city of Minneapolis, they asked for so much information from us. Of course, we had to comply because we were a party in the case.
Right.
And they have a right to depose us. They had the right to get information from us. But they were looking deep to try and find bad behavior on our part. Now here's the flip side to this. The reason they're looking for bad behavior on our part is, and I believe this, I don't have direct evidence of it, though I do have some evidence in some respects, that's how they behave.
Yeah.
That's why they assume that's how we behave, right?
Yep.
They assume we do what they do, which we don't do what they do. So, but they do act illegally at times or improperly. In fact, that's why our lawsuit against the city of Minneapolis got settled so fast by them. And they even accepted that they had violated our rights in judgment because we got to a point where we were finding out they were behaving wrongly.
Discovery is not always fun because it doesn't work one way, you know?
Well, that's just it. If pro-abortion organizations can subpoena records from pro-life organizations because of their efforts when they're not even a party of a case, doesn't it work the other way around? Can't we go get all of Planned Parenthood's lobbying records if they can get the Right to Life lobbying records. So it's really foolish on their part to even attempt to do it.
Some that are more wise will abstain from such behavior because they know it could go poorly for them. And I mean, we've seen that too in other cases that we've covered where I'm trying to think of one. There's one that's latent in the back of my mind, but I remember thinking, oh, the reason they're not trying to get more information is because they don't want the script flipped back on them because they know the evidence would be very poor. That was from my case. I don't remember what it was, but it was probably a year or so ago. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So what you do or what you seek to do can be done against you as well. Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with these legal cases, so something to always happen in the back of your mind when you're doing it. Good attorneys know that and they should tell you that, but sometimes being blinded by your cause overwhelms your ability to think.
Yeah.
Well, the Department of Health and Human Services is now stating that their abortion pill safety review, which is allegedly underway by the Food and Drug Administration, still not certain of that, but they're making statements that make it sound like it is underway, could be done sooner than expected. Now, it all comes on the heels of U.S. District Judge David Joseph putting a stay on an abortion pill lawsuit filed by the state of Louisiana. We talked about that last week. Well, part of his stay said that he was leaving time, a limited time period, in deference to the FDA to complete its review. But then he also said, this will not remain open-ended. In other words, get the job done. And so the department is responding, saying they're going to get it done sooner than what was being expected. So there's a lot of speculation that's going on, including coming from like Bloomberg, where they believe the reason why the Trump administration is doing this in the pace that they're doing it is that they're slow walking the review so that it's not done until after the midterm election, because they fear the blowback, the political blowback, if they have this before the midterms. Angela, I got to say, that's a real probability, but at the same time, he's doing a whole, you know, the Trump administration, including Trump himself, are doing a lot of things where they seem like they could care less what happens in the midterm election.
There are some things that have been careless, I would say. It is interesting, though, because I was reviewing some of the information we covered last week about all of the defunding that has been proposed in the fiscal year for 2027 and then Title 10 for Planned Parenthood losing so much of their funding in abortion clinics, anyone who's committing abortions. And I thought, oh, it's so interesting. They kept the Hyde Amendment in their proposed budget, all of those things which Trump had initially said, you know, we should probably ease up on some of those things. You know, that was kind of his take. We got to ease up on some of the defunding of abortion facilities, that kind of stuff. We need to be more lenient as pro-lifers. And I thought it was really interesting that he backtracked that in this proposed budget. And I wonder if it's because he sees that he's losing a significant part of his base, including those Catholics. Wow.
He's losing the Catholic base.
Yes, he is. You don't want to lose the Catholic bloc.
No. So yeah, a lot happening there. You know, last week I mentioned that there was a study out, or there was an effort out there to try and get the abortion pill as an over-the-counter drug. In other words, drop the prescription side of it. In other words, release all safety things and throw them all to the wind. And so these pro-abortion organizations put together, and just as a kind of a follow-up, this is all being based on a study that they were able, so-called research study, they were able to get into the Journal of American Medicine. And unfortunately, JAMA, which is a premier, supposedly premier.
Sorry, I said it was a joke. You're saying it's a premier.
I'm saying they think everybody seems to think it's premier out there. But there's problems with it. Right.
Yeah.
And this particular research was so thin and so lacking in individuals. They had only 168 involved in the sample size, which is for JAMA to even publish it shows that they shouldn't, that they're a joke, because it's not enough to be considered a real sample size for a study. Okay. So, but they're pushing it. They're, you know, the pro-abortion people have to desperately push for whatever they can to get what they want. And oftentimes, unfortunately, they do get what they want, regardless. So, Senator Josh Hawley, I think from Missouri, right? Senator Josh Hawley sent a letter this past week to the Department of Justice demanding that they investigate the predatory practices of a company called Danko Laboratories. Now, Danko is the original manufacturer of mifepristone, the abortion drug, in the abortion pill regimen. And there's so much secrecy around them. Nobody has seen the documentation where the FDA agreed to approve their drug back in 2000.
Ooh, that's still fascinating. I missed that.
Still being held. So they're trying to get this turned into an open investigation of Danko. They're also talking about their practices of advertising and marketing being deceptive. They want disclosure, or I should say Senator Hawley wants disclosure of the safety risks pertaining to their, and this is their only product. This company exists for one purpose, to create a drug that kills babies. And so it's all sitting out there. Unfortunately, the Department of Justice is indicating that they will not follow through on his request. So
that is unfortunate.
Yeah. Students for Life president Kristen Hawkins is pushing hard for the U.S. House and Senate to defund Planned Parenthood in the current reconciliation process in funding, and not waiting for next year's funding bills to go forward. So they're asking for it immediately. They're pushing hard for it. They're asking that language be included in the reconciliation bill that would defund not just Planned Parenthood, but the whole abortion industry for at least 10 years. So this could be interesting. If anybody follows through on that, it'd be very good for that. Senator Marsha Blackburn is calling for an IRS investigation into Planned Parenthood's tax-exempt status.
Ooh, this one I'm excited about. I gotta say.
She's basing this on their Planned Parenthood's biggest or largest affiliate, which is the Marmonte out of California Planned Parenthood affiliate, where they decided to start selling cosmetic products.
Yes, I reported on this for another show. I thought it was fascinating that they were trying to get into the beauty biz.
Well, they're selling Botox, and they're doing other fillers, beauty and aesthetic treatments and all this other stuff. Yes. And it seems to be this is money. Right. They lost a lot of money when, for this 1 year period, they're not getting Medicaid funding from the federal government, which, by the way, ends on July 4th, and they start getting all their money back if Congress doesn't act. Right. So there's a lot on the line with what we were just talking about, Students for Life, as well as what the proposed budget is for the coming year. So, but anyhow, she's pushing the concept that because they're selling these other products that are unrelated to who they are as a nonprofit, that they are violating their tax-exempt status. Now, it could be very interesting. I'm not sure if that's really the case. This would be very, very big if it were to happen. But it also would mean that, just like we were talking about, you know, if in attorney work and so forth, you can ask for one thing, it could also be asked of you. This could also affect other nonprofits that are under 501c3. Organizations, charitable organizations, if they're selling products and doing other things as well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But I found it very interesting.
It is interesting.
Okay. Now we're going to get to the one I really like the best, other than the baby saved. An Ohio judge is challenging the state constitutional amendment that was passed by the voters in 2024 for all allowing all abortions. Okay. And get this, he's a sitting probate judge in the state of Ohio in one of the counties. And one of his jobs is to sit in cases that are dealing with juveniles coming into, you know, minors coming into his courtroom, seeking a judicial bypass proceeding to be able to obtain an abortion without parental consent.
Right.
Okay. So you'd, okay, my mind went to right away, well, wait a minute. It wasn't any, all those laws, wasn't parental consent just, destroyed by this amendment allowing for all abortions, like so many other things were, you know, I know their fetal heartbeat law was suspended because of it and all these other things. Here's the real crux to this thing. Ohio has a constitutional amendment that was amended a few years ago that allows that actually states that judicial bypass for under 18-year-olds is in the Constitution of Ohio. So his statement is, we've got two constitutional amendments that are conflicting each other right now. And the latter one that was passed, or the newest one that was passed, which is the one that allows for all abortions, should not have been passed without clear language understanding the other rest of the constitutional amendments that are there. And therefore, it should be null and void and have to be put before the voters again with better language, corrected language. That would be very interesting to see what happens with that. So this is going directly to the Ohio Supreme Court, and we'll keep you up to date as we see things.
Sounds kind of messy.
A federal judge ruled this past Tuesday that the state of Oregon cannot force pro-life organizations or religious organizations for including abortion coverage in employees' health insurance plan. So that happened. Very good, very strong, very clear. In Mississippi, the governor signed a bill that bans all mail order abortions. Good.
Wonderful.
Praise
God. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah. And just to understand Planned Parenthood really well, out in Nevada, Planned Parenthood has argued against parental notification law at their state Supreme Court. Now, parental notice, this law was passed in 1985. It's never been allowed to go into effect. It's just now at the point where it should be. And here we are with Planned Parenthood saying minors should not notify their parents that they're going to have their babies killed. So that's the devious stuff of them. Actually a very sad story. A baby with Down syndrome in Missouri, a 7-month-old son at that point in time, has died. And this is just weeks after being withdrawn from the liver transplant wait list. The parents are saying that their son was taken off the wait list because of his disability, being down. He had, because of the problem with his liver, he had other health issues, which is the case with other people who are awaiting liver transplants. So the hospital's claiming it's because of all these other health issues, but anybody seeking a liver transplant has got other health issues, and sometimes pretty complicated ones. That's why they need a liver. And so the parents really believe it's because of that, unfortunately. And one last quick story here. Arizona lawmakers rejected a bill to legalize assisted suicide. Praise God. So we're seeing some good things happening, at least in that end of things, to try and keep the legalization of assisted suicide from growing across the United States. So far, it's been kept out of Minnesota as well. And so that's all very good stuff. All the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.